Okay, we're going to continue on a series on mourning and grieving from God's perspective. And we've looked at this, and I know it's very different than what the world tells you, and I've said it before. I've read all these articles on what to say to people that are mourning and grieving, and it's all full of psychology and stroking self-pity and all of that. I don't want to go there with you, but I do want you to understand that there's not this cold element in my heart where I don't care about people that suffered. I've been there, and I understand pain a lot. I do really care. However, I think that too many of us are cheated when it comes to how to recover from pain like this, and there are answers. It's not just a pill that I want to throw at you to cover the symptoms and make you feel better. I want it gone. And we can be totally healed from this pain of grief and the sense of loss and bereavement and the sense of mourning. So today, the reason I want to go on with this series is because this month is particularly a difficult month because many of us have lost loved ones still in the prime of their life. And several of you are remembering recent birthdays and anniversaries of their passing. And a lot of grief and suffering has come. And as these dates come up, the suffering comes up too. And sometimes it just continues because it never left. It's just that instead of undergirding, it's just depressing. It's that pain that just never goes away. But listen, God has an answer for mourning and grieving. Just like He does for healing, just like He does for salvation, just like He does for our holiness and our righteousness, God has an answer. Jesus paid the price to give us the answer for everything in life that becomes a challenge, a pain, a hurt, or a destructive force. God, through Jesus Christ, gave the answer. So my whole purpose in this series is finding that answer. If we by faith lay hold of God's answer, we will receive it. If we ignore it and want to live the life that we want to live, God is patient. He is kind. We are going to be patient with you. We're going to cry with you. We're going to allow you a shoulder to cry on. I can't tell you I know your pain because every pain is different. I know my pain. I've had a lot of it, of all kinds, but I don't know your pain. So to try to remove that isn't my purpose today. My purpose in all of this series, actually, is to point us to the one who does have the answer. And by faith, you can receive it as easily as you received your salvation, as easy as you received your healing, as easy as you received your life. And one day, it's appointed to every person to die. So we're going to. This isn't an element that we can choose. This isn't an element that we should be surprised happened to anybody or that will happen to us. God pronounced it that way. His word is true, and He doesn't lie. So it's going to happen. What does shock us is when it happens out of the season and time that we think it should. We all think that it should happen at a certain time in life when you're 100 years old or 110. If you make it to 95, wow, what a life. But now, if a 30-year-old son of a daughter suddenly is taken to heaven or a child of yours is taken to heaven, all of these lives in the prime, we have no answers for that. We're not prepared for that. Somehow or another, it doesn't fit the pattern of life that we made for ourselves and for others. And so it shocks us heavier. And in that shock comes greater pain and greater suffering. And this is what's happened to many of us right here. So I don't want to bring a memory of that again to us. Just remember, I want to bring the solution again to us. I want to point us in that direction. So the first thing I'd like to do is start with this. Just this past week, my aunt Odetta May passed away. She was the wife of my late father's late brother. She lived to be 95 and a half years old. That's good. That's one of these things that we say, oh, we're prepared for that. Hallelujah. Good. She lived a good long life. But what a testimony she left behind of godliness, a godly life, and she left a testimony for God in death as well. The caregiver attending her from hospice said she had never witnessed a passing that was so unusually peaceful as this one. That came as a surprise to my cousin, Joan, because this woman had just lost her husband through a sudden heart attack. So she knew what violent death was about, and as a hospice worker and nurse, she knew all about people dying. And so it shocked her to see something happen like this so beautiful. The night before her passing, her son Paul had a dream in which he saw the Lord come picked his mother up in his both arms as a person would pick up a child very delicately, like someone that fragile, and took her away. So he called his family members the next day to tell them what he had seen. My cousin leaned over her mother's unresponsive body to say goodbye at that point after hearing this, knowing that it was coming up very soon, and she told her that it was okay for her to leave, as she loved her very much. She mentioned other things as well about her father and when she gets there and whatnot, but at that point, an unresponsive body had a huge tear come down her right cheek, letting her know she'd heard what she had to say. This is a person that had no problem wanting to go home. She'd begged the Lord to go home many a time in the last few years. After the tear rolled down her right cheek, shortly after that, my aunt's right arm went up into the air, and she said, "Lord, take my hand." That was the last of her expressions on earth as she went to be with her loving Lord Jesus. So it's not a bad thing. We just pass from life to life. Jesus said, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall not die." We don't go through death. We go from one life to another life. That's the beautiful part about it. I remember the song, "What a Day That Will Be When My Jesus I Will See, When I Look Upon His Face, the One Who Saved Me by His Grace, When He Takes Me by the Hand and Leads Me to the Promised Land." What a day! What a glorious day that will be. But I'm wanting to concentrate on those of us that stay. That happens with those that go. It's going to be okay. When your time comes, I just throw this in to let you know it's going to be all right. It's not that horrible thing that you wish would never happen and fight all the way to the end for it to stop and not happen, but it's going to happen. But God is just letting us know that the transition is beautiful because of Jesus. So listen, Jesus not only paid the price for our transition to be beautiful, He paid the price so that the transition for those who stay and have to suffer the loss and go through the mourning and go through the pain also have an answer. So He is faithful. He is just. He is wonderful. And I just want to say that. I really do. But let's just look at what people say about death and about bereavement. So I want to read some little quotes here to you. Not many, just a few. William Igney says, "Bereavement is the sharpest challenge to our trust in God. If faith can overcome this, there is no mountain which it cannot remove." Basically, he is saying mourning, grief, losing someone suddenly, especially if they're young and someone we really love, the pain is excruciating and the pain is terrible. But we're to remember, if by faith we can reach hold of God's answer, that is Jesus. There is no mountain high enough we can't climb. There is no challenge great enough we can't succeed in. There is nothing that by faith we can't lay hold of that can bring our healing. So that's what he was trying to express. Thomas Fuller said, "When we taste death, its reality will mean to us a birth, a deliverance, a new creation of ourself. It will be what health is to a sick man. It will be what home is to an exile. It will be what the loved one given back is to the bereaved. As we draw near to it, a solemn gladness should fill our hearts. It is God's great morning splendor lighting up the sky. Fears are the terror only of the children of darkness, not the children of light." And Alexander McLaren said, "Remember that the path Jesus trod, He also hallowed. Thus we can find lingering fragrance and hidden strength in the remembrance of Him, as in all points He was tempted like as we are, bearing grief for us, bearing grief with us, and bearing grief like us." Helen Keller said, "We bereaved are not alone. We belong to the largest company in the world, the company of those who have known a lot of suffering." And Leo Tolstoy said, "Only people who are capable of loving strongly can also suffer great sorrow. But this same necessity of loving serves also to counteract their grief and helps to heal them." I want to read two more. This one I thought was the most beautiful expression that a person could possibly give that had just lost his loved one. And he puts it in such a beautiful manner that we understand fully what it really means. "And hidden here, My dad used to like to write books, Secrets of the Secrets of This, because he liked to hide things and let you figure out what the secret was. And this man has hidden in this little tiny short quote that I'm going to give you a powerful medicine for grief in the knowledge of what he discovered. And he uses this allegory. And I quote, "I am standing upon the seashore, a ship at my side spreads her white sails to the moving breeze and starts for the blue ocean." Think, he's saying she. "She is an object of beauty and strength. I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and the sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, 'There, she is gone.' But gone where? Gone from my sight. That is all. Gone from my sight. That is all. She is just as large in mast, in hull, in spar, as she was when she was at my side before she left. And she is just as able to bear her load of living freight to her destined port. Her diminished size, I found, was just in me, not in her." At just that moment, someone is heard to say, "There she is." There are other eyes watching her coming, and other voices ready to take up the glad shout, "Here she comes." So as I watched this ship disappear and become nothing more to me in sight, there were others that watched her come and gladly receive her at port. So we can see through this little allegory, he was bearing his heart about either his wife or his daughter, but whatever it was, he was saying something not just poetically, but very beautiful, because he found the answer in some of this. Now, Billy Graham, I'd like to quote last before we go on with what I wanted to say today. He said, "The Bible teaches unmistakably that we can triumph over bereavement. The psalmist said, 'Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.'" The end of quotes. Billy Graham was finding that there is sadness, there is bereavement, there is sorrow, there is mourning, there is all kinds of emotional upsets that we're going to go through, but everything's going to settle down. God says the night's not going to last. Prophet, what of the night? The morning comes. God has designed into every pain of our life a healing. He wounds and he heals. We sometimes think that he just wounds or that he just keeps us healthy. There's going to be times of wounding. Wounding speaks of bereavement, speaks of grief, speaks of mourning, speaks of all of the emotions that hurt us. And God has the answer for those. But let me say this. God does not want to inject into us some magic formula that makes it so that you feel no pain. Let me be clear here. If you feel no pain, it's because that person meant nothing to you. Every second someone dies around the world, we don't suffer all day long for every one of them. Even people that you knew and knew distantly, it doesn't affect you. It really doesn't. So God doesn't come and make us immune to suffering. He allows the blow of suffering to come because it works in our heart the things that it needs to work. And because it's a testimony that you loved. It's a testimony that you wanted to give yourself to someone else. And that part you gave is cut off. The other thing that happens is that when you love, there's a portion of your heart that that person occupies. And whether they're gone or not, that place of occupation is still there. If you want to visit it, when you visit it, if that person isn't there, you're going to hurt. Let me put it this way. They don't have to die for you to hurt. If your children are in your heart, each one of them have their own compartment, and you dearly love them and have expressed your love to them, but there's one of them that won't talk to you, won't answer you, won't have anything to do with you, and you hear from others that they badmouth you, it's not like somebody dying, but that's going to hurt. You know why? Because you loved. Because that place in your heart that belongs to them, you can visit anytime you want to. And when you visit it, it's going to hurt. When you visit another one of a child that you've loved, that loves you back, that's healthy. There's no pain there. But there's pain in the other one. So we have to bear pain. But let me put it this way. I know that's little compared to the death and the shock of losing a loved one that we have chosen to love, because that's more permanent, okay? We still have hope that the child that doesn't want you and that has gone from your family, wants nothing to do with you and basically has written you off, they're gone too. But it's not a final gone. You have that hope that someday they'll change their mind. Whereas the other one can't change their mind. God is a God that doesn't change his mind. Once he calls them home, they're home. And it's good for them, but not for us. So the pain levels aren't the same. I'm just using an example for us to see. So I'm trying to make a point. It's when we love that we open our heart to pain. The more you love, the more pain you'll feel. Some children love their parents more than other children. So when the parent dies, some children don't suffer, but the other ones really carry a lot of grief. So it has to do with the level that you gave the most precious part about yourself, of love that you gave to others. It's not just, if my dad die, I'm going to lose it. No, if your dad gave you away to adoption and didn't care about you, you're not going to suffer that much. But if you were really close to your dad, and there was that interchange of love, and you had those feelings always in your heart, the portion of your heart, you may have had a husband or a wife, depending on whether the boy or girl, all you want, but there was that place in your heart where love still throbbed. It was still alive. You are going to hurt when that father or mother leaves. It's going to smart. Now, this is what our message is about. God has the answer for those who smart. So that's why he doesn't give us a shot that immunes us from everything. He knows that he can't immune my heart. It's there. It still loves. It doesn't have the object to love, but it loves. It's still there. So God wants not just to have an answer, he wants me to have the answer. How can I have the answer God already gave and paid the price for through Jesus? Simple, through faith. I receive it. Like any parent that loves their children, wants to calm them when they're hurting, wants to remove their pain. The first thing you're looking for is an aspirin or an Advil or something. You don't want your child just suffering, neither does God. If you want to suffer the rest of your life and keep looking at that part of your heart, that chamber of your heart that was given to them, and they're gone and that chamber is hurting, just remember, there's other chambers of your heart. We can concentrate on those and not always concentrate on this one. But if we don't want to receive that gift of God, that grace, that special grace that comes that we spoke of in other messages, that is fine. God's going to allow you to. He's going to come with you. He's going to caress you. He's going to make sure you're comfortable. If that's what you want, God will let you do it. So here's what I want to make a point of. We just covered point 14. Now I'm going to go to point 15. And it's time cannot heal. It can only reveal. Time cannot heal. It can only reveal. There is a false but much used cliche affirming that time heals, or that in time you will heal. What this really means is that over a period of time, people eventually heal. That also is a lie. Because I know some people that over a period of time, till the end of their life, they still continued to grieve. They would not let it go. Whether it was a husband or wife or child, it's over and over. Some books I have read, to the day they died, 60 years later, over a child that died, they were still writing about it, still talking about the pain it created them and everything else. This very day, I have friends. You visit the years after the fact. There's nothing wrong with that. If they want to suffer, that's fine. But when you have a friend, when you have somebody you love, you don't want to see him suffer. If you have a child that's suffering, you want to give him at least an Advil. You want to take him to a doctor. You don't want to just see him suffer forever. But the child doesn't want to suffer forever either. So please be understanding with somebody that wants to continue nursing that pain. Be patient with them. Don't judge them. Don't be harsh with them. I don't want to be harsh with them. And if it sounds sometimes in my message a little bit that way, it's not. I have a lot of empathy for people that are suffering. I want to see them well. But see, like a good doctor, you want to give them the solution. If they don't take it, they don't take it. Let me put it this way. We were talking about accountability the other day, and in accountability, we were talking that someday we're going to have a life review. That's accountability. It's like a doctor that you go with a problem, and he says, okay, take this medication. Then a week later, you're calling your doctor. Doctor, I still have a problem. I still have this. What's the first thing he's going to ask you? Have you taken your medication? That's accountability. Have you taken your medication? And what's your answer going to be? Hopefully, yes. And now we can move on. But why prescribe you another medication if you never took that one? So that's accountability. Now, let me bring that point back to this message. God has offered us the medicine that will do us perfect in a time for this, a time for grieving, a time for mourning. He has the medicine that's perfect. The question is, are we taking it? Because if you take it, it's going to relieve the pain and the grace is going to be greater. So that's the beauty of all this. God offers it. He enjoys offering it. He wants to give it to us. He wants to see us well, but he doesn't chide us if we don't take our medication. God has answers for all of us. The truth is that some people never get over the loss of a loved one, regardless of the amount of time that goes by. Others lay hold of God's special grace, and in no time at all, they're healed. That's amazing. In no time at all, it lifts. Do you keep loving them? Yes, because that place in your heart will never go away. It will always be there. And when God asked you, what did you do with love? Show them with a proud heart. Show them that big old heart that has a chamber with hundreds of people in it. Some have bigger chambers than others. Your spiritual heart is huge. It can be huge. Jesus' heart is so big, it has the whole world in it. His heart has a chamber for each one of us. So if time doesn't heal, but it does reveal, what does it reveal? So I'm going to mention four things, not that they're just four, but I'm going to mention four things that I believe time will reveal about mourning, grieving, bereaving, and all the subject that we're on. Time is going to reveal these things. First of all, it will reveal that life goes on in spite of the fact that many grieving people may wish that it would just stop. Your life didn't stop because theirs did. That's one thing that time will reveal. Because the first thing that the shock of grieving and mourning, that pain, that suffering that hits us suddenly will do is paralyze us to want to stop your life so that you don't move on. So you don't get married again sometime, so that you don't go on with your job and just lose your job, just sit at home, suffer, waste away, whatever. You don't feel like going to your job. You don't feel like going on with life. You don't feel like doing the things you have to do. It's just like the tendency in that pain is to stop your life with theirs. But here's the point that we made a little while ago. Their life didn't stop. They went on living. So we should be the same as they. They moved on. Do they look back because they still love us? Because in their heart they have a big portion for each one of us? Yes, they look back, but they look back as they walk forward. It's not very safe to do here in this world. I've run into people like that, and it's definitely not safe to drive that way. So this is what happens when the grief hits us. There's pain there. There's a lot of pain there that we have to deal with, and what it wants you to do is stop. But they didn't stop, so why should we? And that's something that we should look at. Secondly, time reveals that, strange as it might seem, a hurting person is not always ready to be healed. I stopped a minute on that one so you can reflect on it. Time simply proves if and when they want to lay hold of the healing that comes from God. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? There's answers that come from God. As you reach out to Jesus, he comes to you and he begins to soothe the pain that's in our heart. He speaks to us. Many times, like I said before, he'll allow people to come to us again from the other world and visit us in our dreams and all kinds of things. Let's not forget that many mourning and grieving people have not come to the place where they want to be healed either. Now, time gives them a chance to think about it, but people need a desire and to be willing to be comforted and to be healed from the pain and mourning of grieving. So, I want to take it away from us this morning. Would you allow me to do that? And throw it on people in the Bible, because we handle things better that way. I've made a statement now, and you know, there's all kinds of question marks here, and I'm going to go back here and I'm going to show you literally how in the Bible it shows that there were people who refused to be comforted and did not want to be brought out of a state of mourning and grieving and wanted to continue suffering. So be patient with them. God was patient with these people. We need to be patient with those who do, but God still has the answer. Listen closely to an example I will give you of Jacob, and notice what he did and notice what he said. In Genesis 37, verse 34, and I'll read from the Contemporary English Version, Jacob mourned for Joseph a long time. They had told him he was dead. So as far as he was concerned, his mourning was over a dead son. Now remember what we said a little while ago. It's one thing when you lose someone that's 95 and a half years old and you're ready for it. But when somebody in the prime of their life, whom you really loved and was close to you, suddenly gone, you're going to find yourself in the same situation of Jacob. Jacob mourned for Joseph, which was in the prime of his life, very young. It says here, a long time. And to show his sorrow, he tore his clothes and wore sackcloth the whole time. That's similar to dressing in black the rest of your life for us. Verse 35, all of Jacob's children came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. That's what he did. This is what he said. No, he said, I will go to my grave mourning for my son. So Jacob kept on grieving. I hope with this, some of your question marks are disappearing. There are people who want to suffer, and if you tried to bring them out of it, you're going to become someone that's pouring salt on a wound. They want to suffer? Let them suffer. This isn't the message. The message is one of hope. The message is one to show you, if you're hurting, if these memories are coming back, and your heart is hurting, God's extending a loving hand to you and offering you a medicine. He said, just get in touch with Jesus, the doctor, the heavenly physician. He's got a medicine for you that will make your heart glad. He paid for your mourning. He paid for your grief. He will lift it off. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how this medicine works. I don't know any of the details of this stuff. All I know is that he can come in one moment. He can wipe away the tears. And we have songs that say that. We have songs that tell us that he wipes away our tears. There's going to be a day when God wipes every tear away from our life. Every thought of sorrow. But although God did not force Jacob to quit grieving, nor put a time limit to it, he devised a very special plan. When God thought it had gone on long enough, God made a plan. And the beauty of it is that he was not about to let Jacob go to his grave in that condition. So God prepared an amazing surprise of seeing his son, as well as his daughter-in-law and his grandchildren, alive before his eyes. And, listen to this, and his mourning lifted. His grief lifted in an instant. There's a message here. One of the factors of God's healing potion is when by faith we can see them alive and not dead. We haven't lost them, we still have them. You see, sometimes the sense of loss, bereavement is the sense of loss. That sense of loss can get together with loneliness, and they can be a murderous pair. They can wreak havoc with your life. And so here's God. He prepared a scene for Jacob where he saw his sons alive, and life went on, and everything was beautiful in his life. And God did not let him continue in that grief. Although he had said, I'm going to my grave, God undid his covenant. There's power in our words. Had it not been that God involved himself in bringing healing to him, which he didn't want, by the way, God still did it for him. This is what it will be when we see our Christian departed loved ones in heaven, joyful, radiant, communicating, positions of authority, carrying out God's order in meekness and humility of Joseph while he was upon the earth. You say, well, his glad potion came because he saw his son alive in this world. It's not a matter of what world they're alive in. It's a matter of seeing them in the condition of non-loss. You see, he thought he'd lost his son, but suddenly he found he was just in a different place. God showed him that his son was just in a different place. He hadn't lost him. And this is the secret to recovering, is to see that our son is in another place. We haven't lost him. And he's waiting for us. Joseph was waiting for his father in the different place that God had put him. And God would not let him leave Egypt and go back to his father. God had to bring his father to Joseph. That's what God does. It's It's what David said to his son whom he lost. You can't come to me, but I'm coming to you. I still have you, and I'm going to see you someday. And he consoled himself, he washed himself, and he changed the whole attitude he was walking in, and he refused to continue grieving. Amazing factors of God's grace that we can lay hold of. That's the beauty of it. We can. If we don't want to or don't, that's okay. That's really okay. If you're comfortable that way, if you want to be that way, here's my shoulder. I want you to know you can cry on it. You know, one of the quotes that I read was, the best friend you'll ever have during times of bereavement is one that doesn't say anything. One that just gives you a shoulder, one that just gives you a big hug, and one that stays quiet and doesn't try to offer you a solution. There's a thought. You see, God has the solution. And so if people can't by faith or because they don't know about it, give them a shoulder. Hug them. Don't say anything. So life has terrible ditches that we come into, but we can overcome them. Thank God for that. You know, I'm happy today that we can overcome it. Next, we have the example of King David that I was just giving you. But in Psalm 77, verse 1, it said, I cried out to God for help. I cry out to you, O my God, listen to me. And in the second verse says, my Lord, in my time of trouble, I came to you. See, there's the secret. In my time of trouble, I came to you. In my time of trouble, I came to you. See, he's got the answer, but we have to go to him. As long as we're happy keeping what we've got, fine. But we can go to him. He has the answer. David said, in my time of trouble, I came to you. I reached out for you all night long. That was when he lost his sight. Because my soul refused to be comforted. My soul refused to be comforted. So what's this telling me? This is telling me that he refused to be comforted by psychological little cliches. He refused to be comforted by what people say. I understand. This is nice. I'm so sorry to hear about your loss. You know, all that stuff. I refused to be comforted. But what I did do, I reached out to God all night long. I reached out to one who could give me the help I needed. I went to the one who could help quench this terrible sense of pain and loss that I was feeling at that moment. I brought my pain to God. There is where faith lays hold of God's answer. This is what it means to use your faith to lay hold of God's answer. It means to turn and take your pain to him. Don't take it to your neighbor. Don't take it to your children or to your brothers and sisters. Don't take it to people at work. These people can't do anything for me. I brought my pain to you. All night long I cried out my pain to you. You're the only healer. You're the only one that can do anything for me. Listen to Isaiah's words in chapter 54, verse 11. Oh, you afflicted and tossed about ones like a tempest who refuse to be comforted. So these people knew that there are individuals out there that refuse to be comforted. They understand that some people don't just want a cliche. They don't want a washover. This hit them really hard. This isn't something easy. They're in pain. People scream for pain. Please understand that when someone loses a loved one, it's not a joke. Don't say nice things trying to get people in a better mood, because they're in pain. They need healing. And the only one that can heal them is the divine physician. Israel quit their mourning and grieving process after 30 days for one of the men that had meant the most to them and whom they depended on for 30 years in the wilderness. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 8. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. It's like, turn the faucet on, turn the faucet off. Now, I got my own ideas about this. Remember I said that who you really love, that pain is really big. It's going to take a while to deal with that one. But if you didn't really care for some, this shows me how much they loved Moses. He was the lawgiver. He was on the mountain talking to God and brought light down to them in the wilderness. He's the one that made them eat the gold they made the calf out of. Here's the man that brought God in their face every day. But he's also a man that gave them water every day and food every day and made sure their clothes and their shoes always grew with their feet and all that stuff. Made sure their health never failed. He was the man that made sure that every single one of them could see God's presence come before them almost daily. He is the man that could fix any dispute that they ever had. But you know what? I imagine that wife or his children cried for more than 30 days. So here we are talking about time. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brothers, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I strain to look forward to what lies ahead." So, thirdly, time reveals that God becomes intimately available for the hurting, the broken, and those who are in pain. God's people are sent by Him to console and comfort them. He gives grieving people space so that they can make a choice and make it their own choice as to when they let Him into their life. God's gifts of special grace to overcome in the tragic circumstances of life that make no sense at all are available also by this faith that we can exercise in Jesus. We don't have to wait until the time decides to heal us. Jesus is our healer and will heal us any time and at all times. So here we're dealing with time. Time will heal. No, in that time it will reveal that God can heal us anytime, and He can heal us all the time if we allow Him to. Let me read Psalms 103:2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Now listen to this. Verse 4, "who redeems your life from destruction." Do you know that that power of pain, of grieving and mourning is a destructive power that comes in to nullify our life, to take away your quality of life, to take away your joy of life, to take away every part of what is meaningful in life, to strip it from you so you walk like a zombie from then on? God's happy homecoming to bring someone home to Himself that He's longed to have for Him wasn't meant to be my destruction. It wasn't meant to be my ruin. It was meant to be both of our celebrations. It was meant to give me something that I needed. He said, "He redeems my life from destruction and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies when I need it the most." Verse 5, "He satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like an eagle's." Have you ever noticed that when the pain of grief and mourning and sense of bereavement swallow up my life, it's like it takes the wind out of you. It takes the strength out of you. And here it says, "He is the strength of my life. He is the energy. He renews me like an eagle that spreads their wings in the storms and gets renewed after a bad storm." In Psalms 119:50, it says, "This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise gives life." God didn't come to bring death. He came to transition us from life to life. So why do we cry about death when death had no victory over your loved one? Death found no victory over your loved one. God allowed no grave to swallow them up and for the devil to laugh. God snatched them up from the face of the earth, and from this life they went to that life. And listen, from the life we had before with them, we will continue a life without them, as beautiful and as wonderful as it was when we had them. Why? Because we will not allow ourselves to be robbed from the life that He came to give us. God came to give us life and life more abundantly, not until a loved one died. He came to give us life abundantly so that we can abound in life after someone is gone and after a pain and after a tragedy, so that there's not even a scar left on us from what happened before. You know, so many people have been divinely healed. He operated on them. He removed an organ from their body and put a new one there. And the shock of doctors and the shock of those who do tests on their body to realize that wasn't there before and now it's there. How did He do it? Where's the scar? No scar. Listen, that doesn't just happen in a physical body. That happens with our pain and the tragic afflictions that happen in our life. God so heals us that there'll be no scar. What do I mean by that? By scars, I mean there'll be nothing to remind you that at one time you had that happen in your life. You will have no scar going down your chest, down to your belly button, from your neck, showing that you had an open heart surgery. There'll be no record of that heart surgery. Because when Jesus heals you and gives you a new heart, he takes the old one out, puts the new one in, and no one can see where it happened, how it happened, or that it happened. And you're going to be hard-pressed to give a testimony, show somebody, look, God healed me. Really? What did he do? He transplanted my heart and gave me a new transplant. Seriously, where? Show me where. Well, I can't show you where, but I can tell you I got a new heart. You can go to my doctor. They can show you the x-rays and the MRIs of the last one, and I can show you this one. It's a new one. I don't know how he did it, but he took away the memory of it. Scars are memories. I'm here to tell you today that God's healing process includes in it the removal of the memory, so that you will see them as alive and not lost. You will see them with you and not away from you. And you will see the healing touch of Jesus, which comforts if we allow him to do such a thing. In Romans 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present life," or this present time, he says, "are not worthy of compare with the glory that is going to be revealed for us." In 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting?" In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope." In Revelation 14, verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." And he's talking about the good deeds to be rewarded. In Revelation 21, verse 4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That's memory. Tears reflect the pain that was there. "And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." That is an awesome scripture. And let me say this, I don't believe for one minute that we have to wait till we get to heaven for this verse to be materialized in our life. Because if that was the case, every verse in the Bible that we've put a finger on that was written to somebody 3,000 years ago should not be good for us. Everything in the Bible is yea and amen for those who reach it by faith and receive it. And I can say, God, if you are going to wipe away every tear, and if you're going to bring me into a place where this life is living no more sense of pain and mourning and grieving, I want it now. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're going to do that tomorrow, I'd like to bring the tomorrow right down today. How many of us know that we can bring everything that God planned right down into our today? By faith, we can bring things into our today. But still, if that's not the case, I want to say this about this verse. It's going to happen. God's purpose was that there be no more mourning. God's purpose is that his children will know no more pain, no more suffering, no more sense of loss. It will all be there. We'll all be together. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 15, 26 verse, "And the last enemy to be destroyed will be death." Psalms 34, 18, "The Lord is close to those that are brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirit have been crushed." In Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." In Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Psalms 147, verse 3, "He heals the brokenhearted." Listen to him. He heals the brokenhearted. He bandages their wounds. In Luke 4, verse 18, "He has sent me," Jesus, "to heal the brokenhearted." Are you brokenhearted? Do the memories bring back that pain again to your heart? Remember these words from Jesus. "He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. Blessed are those who weep, for they shall laugh." God says, weeping shall endure for a night, but joy, laughter comes in the morning. And devil, we have a morning. Pain, we have a morning. Loved ones, you are with the morning already, and I'm on my way to the morning. I'm in the night now, but I'm going to have a morning. But if we will let Jesus today, this very day, if we will let Him, He will give us a morning in the middle of our night. The last verse I'd like to read is in Psalms 147, but the third verse. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Please listen with me to a song called No More Night, sung by David Phelps. I thank you, Father, that this is exactly what you do. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that your will is to gift us with the Spirit of the Lord. So, Lord, this day touch every heart that's hurting. And for those that have the memory of those that are lost or those that have hurt them, the pain is all the same. And I ask, Father, that you remove that pain today in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're trusting in you, we believe in you, and we know that you have something for us. Amen, amen, and amen.